first one is from Leviticus chapter 19. Hear now God's word for us this morning. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying,
"To all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien.
I am the Lord your God.
You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God.
I am the Lord.
You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God.
I am the Lord.
You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer to your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor.
I am the Lord.
You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall not reprove your neighbor, or you yourself will incur guilt. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
I am the Lord.
Now we will move on to our New Testament scripture this morning, which is from Matthew, the same ones that we read last week. But since we're doing the Lord's Prayer, we only have Matthew and Luke to choose from. So here are the words now from Matthew chapter 6.
When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.
Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's kind of bright in here, and the thermometer didn't know whether it's February or May, so are you comfortable? Are you comfortable? Are you okay? Okay, good. Well, now that you're comfortable, let me tell you a story. In August 1936, right after the Berlin Olympics, my grandfather toured Germany. He was sent to Germany to concentrate, to look around at its air power. Now, of course, Germany was not supposed to have any military air power. That was a stipulation of the Treaty of Versailles signed after World War I. But he took a look around. He went to one of Hitler's rallies at Nuremberg. He saw the over-the-top civilian aircraft, knowing that it could be converted to military use in about 1.3 seconds, and he could tell that Germany was indeed preparing for war. Now, my grandfather went over to Germany right after his friend Charles Lindbergh. Lindbergh came home and said, "Hey, Germany's not preparing for war. We're safe. Let's mind our own business. Let's put our head in the sand. All will be well." And my grandfather took the opposite stance. He spoke very publicly that we should prepare for war. He went to Rotary clubs and churches and all sorts of places. and he said we should train pilots, we should increase airport, build airports, and we should increase air power, strengthen air power. Well, he was ridiculed. He was heckled. He was dismissed as being overly selfish because he just wanted to scare people into raising money for his little pet aviation projects. He later wrote, during that time, I was as welcome as a rattlesnake at a Sunday school picnic. Why did he put up with such humiliation for 5 years? Why didn't he just let bygones be bygones? Well, I see you all are kind of bright there, but I hope you're still comfortable, okay? Because now we're going to have a little bit of Bible background. Today, as we continue this series on the Lord's Prayer, we read again from Matthew. And Matthew and Luke have the same prayer, but they different gospels have different perspectives telling the same story. And Matthew's gospel, from the very beginning, emphasizes Jesus' royal lineage. If you notice, in Matthew's gospel, the first thing is all about his family tree, and he's the one with the three kings who come and come to. And Matthew believed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And he uses the word fulfill 15 times. He's very emphatic about the royalty and the prophetic fulfillment of Jesus. Now, in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer is found in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which are instructional passages. You know, Jesus was standing up, and all these people were sitting around and learning from Jesus. And he was teaching them how to live, and in these passages, how to pray. So that's our New Testament background. We also heard from Leviticus in the Old Testament. And I read where a seminary professor once had a student comment, I thought it was impossible to fall asleep on the treadmill until I did so while trying to read Leviticus. Yeah, I get it. Leviticus is boring. It's all these laws and statutes. And why so many laws? Did you notice all those you shall not, you shall not, you shall not? Well, our verses today, we are constantly reminded that God is holy. And so God's followers should be holy too. You weren't considered a follower of God if you didn't act, if you didn't behave like a follower of God. That's how intrinsic action and behavior was to faith. And these laws that we read today told people how to be, it was kind of the pragmatic how to be holy scripture. When you farm, harvest the main part, but leave those raggedy edges and the gleanings for the poor and the alien to eat. If everyone did that, no one would go hungry. You know, pay fair wages. Don't oppress or seek vengeance. Don't be unjust. Don't hate. Very pragmatic. So that's the Old Testament background. Do you see the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Jesus took all the how to be holy statutes, and he narrowed them down to the two simple lines that we're going to focus on today in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you still comfortable? I'm not. See, as followers of Jesus, we have no excuse to sit on our haunches and let bygones be bygones. We are called to be advocate, promoters of God's kingdom, even if it makes us feel as welcome as a rattlesnake at a Sunday school picnic. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act." When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we need to buckle our seatbelts because we are in for an uncomfortable ride. In the early 1930s, the German church got too comfortable. at the initiative of the Nazis, the guiding principles for the German Christians, and they were called German Christians, stated, Adolf Hitler appeals to the church, and the church will heed his call. And this, of course, was written after civil rights were abolished and all other political parties outlawed. And, of course, in the new German Christian church, let's kind of downplay the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, because of its Jewish roots. I guess that makes Jesus a little suspect, too. But Adolf Hitler, he was okay. Well, this caused the confessing church to be formed. It's called confessing because it confessed Jesus Christ alone as Lord and Savior. And the founding principle of the confessing church is the Barman Declaration. And we have a slide up here. And really, the Barman Declaration, Google it. You can read the whole thing. We still use it as a confession in our church. It starts with scripture, and then it will have theological statements such as this, and then it'll say, we reject false doctrine, and it'll say what's going on in society. So it follows that format through the whole document. So along with stating that Jesus Christ is head of the church and anything or anyone else that claims otherwise has no business being in the church, Barman confessed a triune God, like we believe. God made present in word and sacrament, like we believe. We are saved by grace alone. The primacy of the Bible, just like we believe. The only difference is they risked their lives to be the church. Well, as many of you know, German pastor and scholar Dietrich Bonhoeffer was part of this church. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was teaching over here in America when things imploded in Germany. And he could have stayed here and been safe, but his conscience called him home. He was a pastor in the confessing church and stayed in the pastorate, but once again, his conscience called him to act, and he became a part of the resistance, rescuing Jews. At that time, he wrote, "Cheap grace is the grace we give ourselves, we bestow upon ourselves. Now, costly grace, that's different. It is costly because it calls us to follow, to sacrifice and to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ alone." Bonhoeffer's resistance efforts were discovered, and he was sent to Buchenwald to face the same fate as those whom he was trying to save. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right here on earth, as you would like it to be in heaven. Oh, wow. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, what do you think you're praying for? I don't know. What does the kingdom of God look like? Perhaps it looks like a 70-degree Saturday in February in Chicago. I mean, I don't know. But I can use my imagination, and so can you, think of the times of the greatest peace and the most beauty in your life. Annie Lamott says imagination can be a gift of God. When we know when it's a gift of God, when we live out our imagination, and the imagination bears fruit, which reflects God. She is a friend who imagines the kingdom of God looks like the coastline of Northern California, where they live. Everyone does their part in the kingdom of God. That's how he imagined it. So you know what he does? Every day, he walks his little section of coastline, of the Northern California coastline, and he picks up trash. So how do you pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in my neighborhood, in my life, as it is in heaven. Well, I started with a story about my grandfather, which seems kind of random to this whole sermon. Now, the Barman Declaration, the Confessing Church, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it is so easy to make the connection between what they did and the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But my grandfather, it air power? What does building airports or training pilots or any of that have to do with the kingdom of God? Well, I brought this up because sometimes we forget that even when we're serving the same God and we're seeking the same kingdom, we still do so in different ways. Where my grandfather felt called to serve the kingdom was through the air. He had been a pastor, and he left the pastorate 5 years before. And he went into aviation, and he believed that air power, especially in light of the possibility of war with Nazis, could preserve justice, if not promote justice. It could save lives. And he actually believed that air power was a conduit, a vehicle of peace, because he believed that if we went and visited other cultures and got to know people of other cultures and they came here, that there would be no more war. He actually believed that. So that's how he prayed for the kingdom of God. But how do you pray? I've used a lot of historical examples. It's easy to look back and say, you're right, you're wrong. But like every disciple in every age, we have to decide for ourselves, without the luxury of hindsight, the best way to live out this part of the Lord's Prayer. The best way to act and behave as if thy kingdom is coming and thy will be done on earth today in my neighborhood. As St. Augustine said, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. Friends, don't get comfortable. We have a lot of trash to pick up, but we have a lot to look forward to. This is the good news. In fact, it's all good news. Why? Because we as Christians, we have purpose beyond just right what's right in front of us. We have purpose, we have vision for the long haul, and we have hope in our lives today and forever. We have hope because where we fail, God succeeds. And where we can only try, God accomplishes. But God delights in our trying. Jesus teaches us to try. So, friends, Wildwood Presbyterian Church, with joy, with hope, and with faith, let's get uncomfortable together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, here at Wildwood, as it is in heaven. Amen.